I want you to look at chapter number 1 in the book of Daniel. And then I also want you to find in Daniel chapter 5, and then I want us to look at chapter 6 as well. So we're going to notice a verse in chapter 5, we're going to notice a verse in chapter 6, and then we're going to go back to chapter number 1. So we want you to kind of get into places there in the book of Daniel where you can be prepared and be ready as we have opportunity to hear this message the Lord has given to us today. There's a key word in Daniel chapter 5 and in Daniel chapter 6, a verse that I want to stress to you this morning that's going to be the thrust of our message this morning. And it's going to go along with our theme this year. And we've been preaching messages all throughout the start of our year and then into the spring months of our year. And now moving into the summer of our year, we've been preaching messages that go along with this theme for the year of 2023, always abounding. And there is a word that I want to pull out of Daniel chapter 5 and Daniel chapter 6 this morning. And I want us to try to apply to our lives today as we think about this thought of always abounding. Now, last Sunday morning, we talked about the three Hebrew boys that were thrown into the fiery furnace. And that those men were men that God desires us as men to be like. We preached about that because last Sunday specifically was Father's Day. And so we were talking about men that God wanted us to be like. And then Christians that God wants us to be like. And so we talked about how that those men were different and they were daring and they were dedicated to what God would have them to do. And God delivered them. Well, my heart went back to the book of Daniel this week. And I trust that this will be an encouragement to you as we think about this word that we're going to stress here in Daniel 5. Would you look at Daniel 5 and would you look down at verse number 12? Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 12. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 5, just to give a brief overview of this chapter, we're not going to take so much time to read all the verses that come before. We're going to look at verse number 12. But in Daniel chapter 5, there is a king that sees handwriting on a wall. The Bible tells us God allows a hand to come into the room where this king was. And this king was involved in some activity in Daniel chapter number 5, which displeased the Lord. And so the Bible tells us a hand came down and began to write on the wall, handwriting on the wall. Now that's a miracle. That's something we understand only God could do. But there was a message that God wanted to deliver to that king, and he wanted to let that king know that you have displeased me, and you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and your kingdom have been numbered. God's weighed it, he's put it in the balances, and your kingdom has been found wanting before God, and your days are numbered, he says. And so they're so troubled by this message, and they don't have the interpretation of it. And so they call upon Daniel. Now remember, last Sunday we told you Daniel is a book of prophecy, but it's also a book of people. So we see prophecies or events that are going to happen in days to come or in the future. And so we see Daniel as one of those books of prophecy that we have in our Bible. But it's also a book of people. Remember, we introduced you to some of those people last Sunday, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We talked to you about Daniel as well. And we're going to kind of narrow in on those men again, specifically on Daniel today. We're going to talk about those three Hebrew friends of his as well in our message time today. And so here's Daniel. The Bible tells the king calls for him. And there's a reason why he's called for Daniel, because the Bible describes the character and the integrity of Daniel in Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 12. There's a word I want to pull out of here. Look at Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Now, Daniel has already worked with one of the previous kings to interpret a dream and a vision that the Lord had given to him as well. And so now they're going to call for Daniel. But you'll notice at the beginning of verse number 12, this is the word I want to pull out of this morning. And I trust it'll be a blessing to us this morning. Just some simple thoughts this morning. Nothing perhaps that you have not heard before. But I just want God to speak to our hearts and show us what kind of a spirit Daniel had. Would you look at verse number 12 one more time at the very start of the verse? It says this, for as much as an excellent spirit. The Bible tells an excellent spirit was found in Daniel. I want to concentrate on that word excellent this morning. The Bible speaks of his character. The Bible speaks of his integrity as being excellent. You know, we are living in a day in which sadly many people, not all, we're not speaking of all individuals, but many people will give less than their best. But God says, I am seeking after individuals with an excellent spirit, that they would choose that which is best for their life, that which God has for them in an excellent way. And he's speaking of his character. He's speaking of his integrity here, and we'll get to it in just a moment. But look with me, if you would, at Daniel chapter 6 for a moment. Daniel chapter 6, and the Bible tells us in verse number 3 of Daniel chapter 6, listen to these words, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." You know, God is looking today for Christians that are excellent. He's looking for Christians that are excellent. Now, when we use that term excellent, we're not saying that we are excellent because of anything of ourselves. It's not about saying that we are an excellent Christian in a boastful and a prideful way. But God is looking for Christians to give of their best. God is looking for Christians to have integrity and character that is excellent, where they are seeking to do their best for the Lord so that he could say, along with Daniel, it be said of our lives that God sees in us an excellent spirit, not because of any, again, any pride in our own selves, not because of anything we could boast of on our own, not because it's all about us, but it's about because of what God is doing in our lives. That we would have that in character, that we would have that integrity where God would be able to say of us that we had an excellent spirit. Christians that are authentic. Christians that are genuine. Christians that are real. By the way, that's not only what the Lord is looking for today, but that's what the world looks at as well. If we say with our mouth that we are a Christian, they are looking that we be genuine, they're looking that we be real, and that there's something different that is in our lives. This was true of Daniel. He had an excellent spirit. That's what God desires of us. He desires excellence in our life, giving of our best so that we can have God's best in our life as well. Now, in the New Testament of our Bible, we're not going to take the time to look there, but there's a verse in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 10 that talks about how that we as Christians ought to approve things that are excellent. It uses that word excellent, that we would approve in our lives things that are excellent. Here's what he's saying. Let's strive for excellence. Let's strive to do our absolute best. And you know, so many in the realm or the line of sports, they're desiring to do their best, aren't they? They're desiring to be excellent in their sport. And so they work at it so that they can be excellent in the sport that they are playing. Or maybe some in the business world. Oh, I want to prosper in the business world. And I don't want to be just looked at as a good businessman or businesswoman. But I want to have excellence in this line of business that I am working in or that I'm involved in. How about academically? Academically, that individuals would strive to say, I want to be excellent in my academics. So that when I'm going to school, I'm giving of my absolute best. Now, can I say that everything that I just mentioned, that's a good thing. It is good for an athlete to give of their best. If they're going to be involved in some kind of an athletic sport or an athletic event or a sport of some sort, we ought to give our best. I remember my coach many years ago standing up at soccer practice, and he was saying that sports are such a way of teaching you things that can build character and integrity in your life. So he was trying to help us as athletes to say that we don't just look at the sport saying we're going to get out there on the field and we're just going to do whatever. No, it helps us to teach. It helps to teach us with our integrity and our character that we're going to give of our absolute best. So you got to train. You got to get ready for it. And it's a good thing for an athlete or somebody that's involved in sports to say, I don't want to just give of that which is good or maybe to be better than somebody else. I want it to be of excellence that I give. The businessman, nothing wrong with that. To say, I'm going to strive for excellence. Academically, nothing wrong for a student to go into school and say, I want to give of my best, right? To strive for excellence in school, whether it be in elementary school or in high school or even higher learning in college, to say I'm going to be a give of my absolute best so that I can strive to have an attitude of excellence. But why not we as Christians, right? That we would say as a child of God, that I could live with an excellent spirit, not to do something half-heartedly, not to settle for second best, not to get this kind of an attitude where we say, well, I'll do better, I'll do a better job next time. Or maybe to say a phrase, well, I'm doing better than most people. No, God wants us to have a spirit like Daniel. Where Daniel, the Bible says, had an excellent spirit. You know, in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 3, I'm going to read it again. It says this of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. It's describing in the life of Daniel the fact that God's Holy Spirit was filling him. God's Holy Spirit was working in the life of Daniel, was using Daniel for God's honor and God's glory. It doesn't just speak of God's Holy Spirit filling him, but it also speaks of the fact that Daniel had integrity, Daniel had character. And can I say that when we are reading Daniel chapter number 6, the Bible is speaking of Daniel at the age of in between 80 and 90 years old. So this is not Daniel just as a young man. This is not Daniel in his adult years. This is Daniel in really the senior years of his life. He's 80 to 90 years old. So there must have been something. If you would consider this with me this morning, there must have been something in his character throughout his life that led to this statement in the latter years of his life. He must have been doing something that in the latter years of his life, people could identify this as a man who had an excellent spirit. Now I want to give you two thoughts this morning. And perhaps if you're writing things down, you can write these two thoughts down this morning. And can I say this? Before we even say these two thoughts here this morning that'll help us to have an excellent spirit, can I say this morning, this is not going to be anything deep. This is not going to be anything that you have not heard before. But may we just concentrate on God's how God speaks to us and apply it to our lives. Here's the reason why Daniel had an excellent spirit. I want to give you two thoughts this morning. Number one, I want you to notice that he lived for God. He had an excellent spirit because he lived for God. I want to turn back to Daniel chapter 1 for just a moment, and I want us to see something in the early stages of this story of Daniel here. Daniel, as a Hebrew boy, as a Hebrew young person, had been taken away from his home, and he had been carried away captive into Babylon. The Bible tells us King Nebuchadnezzar came, took captive back to Babylon, and four of the men that are mentioned in Daniel, or Daniel, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible tells us that no matter where Daniel was, he lived for God. That's thought number one. If we're going to have an excellent spirit about us, number one, we've got to live for God. And no matter where Daniel was, he lived for God. When he was back at home with his Hebrew people in Israel, he lived for God. In Jerusalem, he lived for God. But then when he was taken captive and his family wasn't around him, and he could have done whatever his heart chose to do. The Bible tells us even in Babylon, Daniel made a decision to live for God. And I want you to notice two things under this thought this morning of Daniel living for God. The first thing I want us to notice is this. I want us to notice his decision of righteousness. Number one, his decision of righteousness. If you're going to live an excellent life and you're going to have an excellent spirit about you as a Christian, number one, you're going to have to live for God, and that requires decisions of righteousness. It requires that we make decisions of righteousness. Remember what we said just a moment ago, we're putting all of this together as we've sang our songs, as we've allowed God to use the music to prepare our hearts. Remember I said in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said these words, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." Now that word righteousness means nothing more than right living. God desires that we live right. And here's what Daniel said. Daniel said, "When I'm at home in Jerusalem with my family, I'm going to live right. And when I'm here in Babylon and I've been taken away captive and family's not around and I'm around all of this idolatry and all of this wickedness, I'm still going to make a choice to live for the Lord and I'm going to continue making decisions of righteousness." And notice what the Bible says he does in verse number 8. This is Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Number one, I want you to notice his decision of righteousness. The Bible says he purposed in his heart. By the way, that's where we get that song that we sing in our hymn, "Be a Daniel." Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. Daniel, the Bible says, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. You say, well, why was he not allowed to eat, or why in his heart did he feel like it would be a step of righteousness or to have an excellent spirit by staying away from the king's meat? Because the king's meat in Babylon was first offered to idols. And he realized that if I'm going to eat meat that's first offered to idols, it will not be a decision of righteousness in my life. And so the Bible tells he purposed in his heart. He stood firm. He was steadfast and loyal to his principles. Can I say this morning that that is what God is looking for? He's looking for Christians that are steadfast and loyal in our principles. You say, well, where are these principles found? They're found in the Word of God. Principles of righteousness that God's Word gives to us, and we need to stand fast in those principles. We need to be loyal to those principles, but it goes a step further. Because we are loyal and we are standing fast in our principles, that means we're standing fast and loyal to our God, because God is the one who has given us these principles. And Daniel, the Bible tells us, no matter where he was, he desired to live for God, and the Bible tells us he made decisions of righteousness. But the second thing I want you to notice is this, and this is maybe the point that God spoke to my heart about more than any other thought with this message this morning. He challenged me, and I hope he'll challenge you this morning. Not only did Daniel live for God by making decisions of righteousness, but he lived for God by making a procedure for righteousness. He had a procedure for righteousness. That wasn't just saying, I'm going to do that which is right. He made it possible for him to do right by putting procedures and practices in his life that would help him. Have you ever had something that you would say has become very challenging to you as far as maybe perhaps a temptation or something that you're giving into? And maybe we can even go back to the book of Hebrews where it talks about a besetting sin. And we may make a decision of righteousness and we may say, well, this is something I know. Maybe even praying and talking to the Lord about that decision of righteousness, but yet you've never made the step of saying, you know, I need to put some procedures in my life that are going to help me to continue making that decision of righteousness. That's what the Bible says Daniel does. He's desiring to live for God not only by saying, I'm going to make a decision of righteousness, but I'm going to have some procedures put in place so that I can continue in that righteousness. Now let's notice how he did that. Would you look with me, if you would, real quickly at verse number 9. It says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now don't worry, God's working all of this out. And if you will make a decision of righteousness, God will help you with it. God is working it all out. Notice the Bible tells us he's been put in favor with the eunuch, or who would be considered a steward in the land there in Babylon. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. He said, Daniel, you know, we're trying to teach you our culture here. We've moved for purpose. This is not by accident. So we're trying to teach you our language. We're trying to teach you how to dress like we do. We're trying to teach you what our culture is. We've even changed your name. Remember, the Bible says his name was no longer Daniel. His name is now Belteshazzar, which, by the way, was a name that would represent the gods, the false idols that were in the land of Babylon. And so the eunuch is looking at Daniel and he's saying, hey, this is on purpose here. We're trying to change everything about you. And one of those things is you've got to eat of the king's meat and you've got to drink of the king's wine that he sets in front of you. Now, notice what the Bible says Daniel does, though. Look at verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which, by the way, are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now watch with me, if you would, at verse number 12. Prove thy servants. Daniel's saying to Melzar, he said, test us. I want you to test us. He said, here's how the test is going to work. Look at verse number 12. I beseech thee 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. So the only thing we want you to serve us is vegetables and water. Now you can imagine already when they in Babylon hear this, you can imagine they would look at their meat that the king would offer to those who would eat and the wine which he drank as being that which would profit bodily more than vegetables. But Daniel said, hey, just prove us. Just prove us and see if God won't work this out if we take a stand and we are steadfast and we are loyal to our principles and loyal to our God. What does Daniel try to do? He's trying to put procedures in place so that he can follow his decision of righteousness. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 13. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. He says, all right, now at the end of those 10 days, I want you to bring us all back that have only ate vegetables and drank water. And I want you to compare our countenance to the countenance of those who are eating at the king's table, eating the king's meat, and drinking of the king's wine. Now notice with me, if you would, at verse number 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Now watch this, follow along now, verse 15. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. You don't think God's got it under control? God's got it under control, doesn't he? And if you will make a decision of righteousness and you will follow that with procedures that you can put in place so that you can follow that decision with righteousness, notice what the Bible says in verse 16. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Can you see God working all of this out? Now those who sat up at the king's table and ate of the meat and drank of the wine, now they are eating vegetables. Now they are drinking water. And now notice verse number 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Here's what Daniel did. Daniel did something, or we'll say it this way, he took action to allow himself to make a righteous choice. Now again, this is where God's encouraged my heart. Maybe he'll encourage your heart here this morning. Always saying, I'm going to make decisions of righteousness. You know, God may speak to our hearts today and we may get up out of our seat. And by the way, I would encourage you, if he does speak to your heart, that you do this very thing. You get up out of your seat at the end of the service and you come here and you pray at the altar. That's why we give an invitation. And if you're physically able to and God's spoken to your heart, to come and speak to him. He speaks to us through the preaching of his word, and then at invitation time, we get to speak to him. Isn't that wonderful? So there might be decisions of righteousness that God will even seal in your heart today. But it's a matter of getting up from that altar and saying, now I've got to maybe perhaps put some procedures in place. Maybe start lining things up in my life, taking action, doing something to allow me to continue in these righteous choices instead of falling down over and over and over again and allowing whatever it is that we're struggling with to keep to overcome us over and over and over and over again. God says, make those decisions of righteousness. Yes, but put some procedures in place so that we can continue in those righteous choices that God would have us to live in. So Daniel understood that his duty to God would take precedence over any human obligation. Yes, humanly speaking, they told me to eat of this meat and drink of this wine. But my priority to God overshadows that. And I've got to make a decision of righteousness. I've got to live for him. So let me say in thought number one this morning, Daniel had an excellent spirit because he lived for God. Can I give you really quickly what I believe are some principles from the life of Daniel and these three Hebrew friends of his, principles for living a life that is right for God, living for God. Here are some principles. Number one, I think we see it in their lives, the principle of discernment, to have enough discernment to be able to choose between right and wrong. The Bible says in order for them to live right for God and to do what God would have for them to do, they had to have some discernment. They had to choose the difference between that which is right and that which is wrong. In our lives today, may we ask God to give us discernment that we can choose between right and wrong so that we can live with an excellent spirit. And then here's another step that they took in order to live right, in order to live for God. They resisted temptation. Oh, I'd say the temptation was to eat of the king's meat. I'd say the temptation was to drink of the king's wine, but they resisted temptation. And here's a third thought when it comes to these four Hebrew boys living for God. They also voiced their disagreement. They voiced their disagreement. So they didn't just sit down at the table and conform. You know, we live in an age and a world of conformity. But God said he doesn't want us to conform. Instead, there are some times in which we're going to have to voice our disagreement and say that God desires that I live a life that is transformed, a life that is different. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, be not conformed to this world. We're not to be made just like this world. We're not to be made in the image of this world and just conform and give in to whatever they want us to do. No, he says we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And sometimes that will require you to have discernment and to resist temptation and to voice your disagreement. This is not something God wants me to do. And that's what those four Hebrew boys did. And then can I say this? It also took a step of courage to live for God. We're going to see in just a moment, it took a step of courage for Daniel to even have to go to the lion's den. He had to go to a lion's den in order to live for God. And then can I say this? It also required perseverance. They had to persevere. They had to be persistent. And even when he looked at him and said, hey, we're trying to adapt you to our culture. But Daniel says, why don't you prove us? Why don't you test us? Why don't you try us? And there was some perseverance involved. There was some determination where they resolved not to yield to the battle. That's where an excellent spirit comes in, where we take a stand and we say, I'm not going to yield to the battle. I'm not going to give in, but there's going to be some perseverance and some determination in my life. So number one, how was Daniel able to have an excellent spirit? How was he defined with an excellent spirit? Because he lived for God. But number two, I want to finish with this morning. Again, nothing new, nothing you haven't heard before, but let's apply it to our lives. Number one, to have an excellent spirit, you got to live for God. You got to make those righteous decisions, and you got to put procedures in place so that you can continue those righteous decisions. But then here's number two. Not only did he live for God, number two, he looked to God. He looked to God. So today, if we're going to have an excellent spirit, we've got to live for God, and we've got to look to God. God has to be our strength. And that's exactly what we see in Daniel chapter number 6. The Bible tells us that they've come up with a decree. And the reason why they've come up with a decree is that Daniel has prayed to his God three times a day. He would go over to the window, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. He would go over to the window, and he would face towards the city of Jerusalem, his homeland. And the Bible tells us he would pray to his God three times a day. Well, the Bible tells us that these men, because they saw this excellent spirit that was in Daniel, they saw his integrity, they saw his character, they wanted to put him down because they kept noticing the kings were promoting Daniel. We've got to find some fault in him. And the Bible tells us they searched and they searched and they searched and they searched. They could not find any fault in Daniel at all. Can I say, would that be able to be said of us today? They're searching for something they could find in his life where he could be blamed for that. Or blamed for this. And there was nothing they could find except, now listen, here's what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, except for when it came to his God, which meant that there was something he did towards his God that would have violated principles that would be in Babylon. And that was because Daniel prayed to his God. So they said, here's what we got to do. We've got to make up a decree. And that decree needs to state that nobody can pray to any other god other than the king. He's the only one that can be prayed to. And if anybody prays to any other god, then they're going to be cast in the lion's den. I'm sure you've heard the story. And those hungry lions are going to be out to take the life of that person who's cast in the lion's den. Well, the Bible tells they've come up with this decree, but Daniel is still looking to God. He prayed in spite of everything that stood against him. Here's not only people that are trying to find fault in his integrity and his character because he's got that excellent spirit and it's because he's been promoted. But now the Bible tells they've gone to a step of saying we're going to make a decree that cannot be overturned. The king is going to seal this. His authority, his stamp of approval on this decree, and there's nothing that can change it. But the Bible tells us that Daniel still looked to God. And I want us to notice in one verse this morning that we find in Daniel chapter number 6, I want us to notice several principles about Daniel looking to God. Would you look at verse number 10 with me if you would? Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Let's notice several principles. And these are going to be principles or elements that we need to have in our prayer time as we look to God in prayer. If we're going to have an excellent spirit, we've got to live for God and we've got to look to God. And notice what the Bible says was true of Daniel's prayer time in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Let's break this down for a moment and let's see quite a few elements of his prayer that we need to apply to our lives as we look to God. Number one, look at verse number 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now the first thing I want you to notice about Daniel's elements of prayer as he looked to God, number one, I want you to notice the faith of his prayer time. the faith of his prayer time. The Bible tells us he believed God in his word. He believed God in his word enough to know that even though there's been a decree made, God has asked me to pray. And he still had a willingness to pray, even though the fact that decree has been signed. Daniel has knowledge of this decree. And the Bible tells us by faith, he still goes in his house so that he can pray to his God. The first element of his prayer as he looked to God is faith. Faith in our prayer, don't we? Have faith enough to know that God is going to take care of us as we take a stand for him. He still had a willingness to pray, and he still had a willingness to believe in God, and he still had a willingness to believe in his word, even though the decree was made. He expresses and shows an element of faith. But then notice number two, if you would. I want you to notice this. And his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. The second element of his prayer time I want you to notice is this. I want you to notice worship. Worship. Now notice, Daniel is not in Jerusalem. So he could not worship in the holy city. He could not worship in Jerusalem. But because the Bible tells us he opens his window and he is praying toward Jerusalem, his posture showed that he wanted to be in the holy city. Can I say this? He couldn't be in the holy city, but his posture showed that he wanted to be. And can I say today, we may not be in the absolute presence of God today. One day, if we know Christ is our Savior, we're going to get to be in the absolute presence of God today. But can I say this? As we worship him, our posture shows the fact that we desire to be in his presence, doesn't it? The element of his prayer was the fact that he had faith. The element of his prayer was the fact that he had worship. He postured himself toward the city of Jerusalem, toward the holy city in worship before God. But then notice another aspect or element of his prayer. It says this, he kneeled upon his knees. I want you to notice the element of humility. His humility in his prayer time. Humbly before the Lord. Why? Because he's looking to God. God is the one who is the source of my strength. God is the one who is the source of my help. He is my refuge. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Be still, the psalmist says, and know that I am God. And in humility, he kneels down and he bows before God as he looks to God. Notice with me, if you would, as we continue on, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day. I want you to notice the regularity of his prayer. The regularity of his prayer. Not only is he putting faith in and worships as he faces towards the holy city, and in humility he gets on his knees. But the regularity, this is three times a day. It reminds me of what the psalmist says when he says, evening and morning and at noon will I call upon God. Three times a day, evening and morning and noon. The Bible tells us Daniel practiced that in regularity. Three times a day, the Bible tells us he opens his window facing the holy city, kneels down and he begins to pray and talk to the Lord. And notice what he says. It says, towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. I want you to notice the word petition. The word petition. He prayed, and can I say this? He kept on praying. Even though he knew he was going to go to the lion's den, he prayed and he kept on praying with petition to the Lord. Asking the Lord for needs that he had. I'm sure asking the Lord for needs on behalf of those that were in the city of Babylon, those that were in the region there in Babylon. Asking God for the needs that he had. He prayed and he kept on praying. And then notice what the Bible says at the end. He says, and gave thanks before his God. I want you to notice also the element of thanksgiving. By the way, the element of thanksgiving ought to be in our prayers as we are looking to God. The element of thanksgiving in the prayer of Daniel. And then notice the end of the verse. It says this, as he did aforetime. I want you to notice consistency in his prayer. His prayer was enduring. His prayer was dependable. You could count on the fact that three times a day, as a matter of fact, those who to establish this decree could count on the fact that three times a day he would go to his window and face the holy city and be praying to his God. It was something you could count on, as he did aforetime. There was consistency. He was enduring and he was dependable when it came to his prayer time. Can I say this? The Bible talks about that in the book of James. It says that we are to the prayer of a righteous man, the Bible says, availeth much. That prayer that's just consistent. That prayer where we're dependable in our prayer time and it's enduring. The Bible says it availeth much. That fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. We just keep going back to God. And in that spirit of prayer, we keep going back and we're consistent in it. We're enduring in it. We're dependable in it. And this is the way that Daniel looked to God. And can I ask you, has Daniel lived for God? Has Daniel looked to God? Do you think God blessed Daniel? Sure, the Bible says he had an excellent spirit. You know, it's a matter today of just not saying, I want to settle for that which is good, but I want to settle for that which is excellent. That I would, again, as the Bible says in the book of Daniel about Daniel, that he had an excellent spirit, that we would strive to have that excellent spirit in our lives. And notice really quickly as we close how God blessed. Look at verse 16. Then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. So now the king cannot go back on his word. So he cast him into the den of lions. But notice what he says at the end of verse number 16. Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And then notice what Daniel says starting in verse number 21. It says, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Now this is after the king has had a very restless night. He couldn't rest at all. He was so worried about Daniel and that decree that had been made. And in the morning he goes to that den and starts to shout down, hey, Daniel, are you there? Daniel gives an answer. O king, live forever. Look at verse 22. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Look at verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. What's the reason behind it all? He believed in his God. He looked to his God. And the Bible tells us as he looked to his God, he lived for his God. And then let's finish the passage of Scripture, verse number 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children, their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Now notice verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. This is when Daniel's 80 to 90 years old. He had enough character and enough integrity to be said to have an excellent spirit in his life. Why? Because he lived for God, made choices and decisions of righteousness, and put procedures in place so that he could live righteously, and he looked to God. Even when things were against him, even when it seemed as if all stood against him, Daniel, the Bible says, looked to God and then found favor in the sight of God. Now, can I say this as we close this morning? Perhaps there'd be one sitting here today, perhaps more than one, and I trust it would be more than one that would say, I want to have an excellent spirit as I serve the Lord. An excellent spirit as God's Holy Spirit fills me. An excellent attitude, an attitude of joy and gladness as I serve the Lord. And then an excellent spirit because I've got the right integrity and character about my life. And maybe you can say along with that hymn writer, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. Will you be like Daniel this morning? Will God be able to find an excellent spirit in you because you have lived for God and because you are looking to God? Then he takes care of us, doesn't he? He gets the victory. He delivers his children. You know, there may be somebody that's sitting here today, though, that's never come to trust Christ as Savior. And so living for God and looking to God would certainly be something that's very foreign to you. But if God is speaking to your heart today about your soul, about your eternity, I hope that you'll do business with God today. You'll come to a place where you acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner and there's a punishment for your sin. Realize that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for you. And how if you'll admit you're a sinner, you'll believe that Jesus died for you and you'll call on him to be your Savior. The Bible says you can know that for certain today and you can be on your way to heaven and have that promise of life eternal. May we as God's people live with a spirit of excellency. Not just saying I'll do better next time or I'm doing better than others that are around me, but saying, God, give me an excellent spirit. Father, I pray that you'd bless this moment of invitation that we have as we draw our service to a close. Lord, I pray that you've spoken to hearts today. I pray that you've done a work in hearts that we know that you are able to do.